I never want to miss an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move. And, you know, I've got my message here. It's a pretty uncomfortable message. So I was really, really pleased when Jared said about comfort, because this is an uncomfortable message. And I always feel like I have these uncomfortable messages. But before we do that, I do want to make sure that you receive something from the Holy Spirit. And the picture I had was of the rain, because we've had a whole lot of rain, but I felt people were dry, even with the rain. And, you know, the rain's no good unless it gets into our root system, unless it gets into the plants, unless it's absorbed into us. And so I just want you to close your eyes for a minute, because some of you today, you need to absorb strength for what you're going through. You need the strength of the Holy Spirit. You've been trying to work things out. You've been looking at things thinking, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. But right now, the Holy Spirit is saying, you can do it. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. God is with you. Holy Spirit, right now, I just pray that your strength would be made perfect in our weakness. And that right now you'd fill us. Father, I pray you'd fill people with your Holy Spirit. One moment in the presence of God is all you need. Holy Spirit, I pray right now even melt away worries, anxieties, fears, insecurities. Lord, I pray love, hope, courage, strength, life would fill every person. I pray healing would flow through people's bodies. I get the phrase, go again. Go again, and always try and go for a where in the Bible says go again, and I get the Elijah's servant where he said go again, go have a look and see if the clouds come. Maybe you've gone lots of times, but just go again. Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray you take my word, Lord, and Lord, I pray you'd anoint them. Lord, I pray they'd be your words. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts and our minds. Challenge us. For some of us, this will be very familiar. For others, this will be new. Lord, we all want to move closer to you. We want to move to where you want us to be. We want to serve you and live for you 100%, Lord. But Lord, we are so conscious that there are things that weigh us down, hold us back, stop us. And so this morning, I pray you just speak to us about those things. And help us to do all that you've called us to do, to be all that you've called us to be, to live the life you've called us to live. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Joanne. So the title of my message is How Much? How Much? How Much? I thought of two things when I was always trying to think of, what do I think of when I say how much? And the first thing was the song, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? How many people know that song? And how many people got no idea? Okay, yeah. So how much? And then the other one was, I get the vision of the movie The Castle and the guy going to his dad. Dad, a guy selling a V-dub here, 1967. How much does he want? Oh, he wants this. Tell him he's dreaming. How much? And the funny thing is I can remember doing that with my son saying, Dad, they want this for this. This thing here for sale. How much? The question is always, how much? How much? How much? It's about price. And the reason I've sort of ended up thinking about how much is, I think after the slowdown of pace that some of us had, now not everyone got a slowdown of pace when they got to be locked up. Some got an increase of pace. I have talked to a few people that, man, it got crazy. But some of us got a slowdown of pace, and that break and that change made you sort of go, man, I quite like some of these aspects of just relaxing and not being in the rat race and doing all these things. And so what it did do make me think is, well, what's important? You know, how many things have I been doing that are just a waste of space and a waste of time? And there's only so many Netflix movies you can watch. In fact, most of the Netflix movies are just not very well made. So, you know, and then I started getting concerned about Christians because I'm always concerned that I feel at times that as Christians, we're all about what's in it for me. Our Christian walk's about, well, what's in it for me? And I get worried about people who are so focused on their needs and what are, I think, are reasonable needs that we have. You know, financial needs, health needs, social needs, family needs, work needs, school needs, life needs. You know, we can get focused on these needs that we have in our Christian walk. And I suppose as a pastor, you're concerned about how much of our Christian walk is about, well, what do I get out of this? It's a big challenge with church as a pastor, going, okay, I want church to be a great experience for people and I want them to join and, you know, and get on and let's have a great church. And so what happens is you step back from asking because you don't want to make it too difficult for the Christians. I can see it's already got hard. I did think that I should do this message sitting on a stool just so you'd feel a little bit more comfortable. This hit me really hard because I sit here looking going, how hard sometimes it is to ask people. And you think, oh, I'm asking them so much. And yet in some ways, you know, you battle as a Christian because you go, well, I've given everything. My life is not my own. The whole thought around people have come to faith, and maybe this is how we've at times done our salvations, about what's going to happen for them. They're going to be blessed. You know, and we've preached possibly a soft gospel. And so the question I have is, what happens for you if it doesn't quite go the way that you expect it to go? How much? What would it take for you to walk away? An offense? Some change? A disappointment? A betrayal? A beating? None of us have had really a beating and the concerns of the beating of what Paul did, but what would it take? Have you ever tried to weigh up to say, well, how much? What would it take for you to walk away? Many people have walked away. Lots of people. You know, one of the good things that I feel in our church that I've been really encouraged by was if we've talked about changing the times, a whole lot of people said, doesn't matter, whatever, we'll be there. I just go, wow, that's a great statement. Whatever, whether it suits or not. And I've had some people go, oh, it doesn't suit. I like the whole of us coming together. But they go, whatever, look, whatever, we'll be there. We don't come based on what time it is. We come because this is where God's planted us. Regardless of convenience or not. So if you've got your Bible, let's turn to Luke 14, verse 25. Let me read this to you. This is in the New Living. Verse 25, a large crowd. It was always a large crowd. I don't know how much a large crowd is. In Jesus' terms, some of the crowds were 5,000 to 10,000 people. So a large crowd were following Jesus. I don't know whether he was a little bit annoyed with him. I don't know, because this is a pretty, it's like he sort of got, oh man, all these people following, you know, and I suppose he was a bit concerned they were just hanging on for the sake of hanging on, they were just there for what they could get out of it, and so he turns around and says to them, If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. By comparison. Your father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. Yes, even what all you own. Sorry, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Pretty heavy duty, isn't it? Like, I'm just trying to get you to just take a breather and have a bit of a think about that. Well, if you were in the crowd, what would your response have been? Oh, I don't know. I like my mum. I like my father. And I suppose the question is, have you weighed up the cost? And how much? How much are you prepared to pay? How much? Where does that level of value, that level of worth in your walk with God sit? Verse 28 says, but don't begin until you count the cost. And so my challenge this morning is count the cost. What happens when everything goes wrong? I love Job's response. And I thought I'd read you this because there's some good bits in this. But Job 2, verse 8, everything's gone wrong. Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. Oh, that's gross. His wife said to him, this is quite funny. Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job replied, I don't know what his marriage was like, but he replied, you talk like a foolish woman. I haven't used that line yet, I must say. How many people has it crossed your mind to say that about your spouse? None of you are game to put your hand up, are you? What a reply. Maybe that was, I don't know, you talk like a foolish woman. Probably just as well he says you talk like instead of you are a foolish woman. Anyway, okay, here's the kicker though. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Said nothing. What price? The commitment of the disciples challenges me in my thinking. And I feel that what I'd call the progression of the disciples' commitment grew over time. When they were called as disciples, you know, they gave up straight away their jobs. From what I can gather, they had seen Jesus and talked to Jesus maybe for a couple of months. So it wasn't like it was they met him for the first time and he says, come follow me, and they jumped. There was some sort of relationship, but there is a progression of commitment, you know, a commitment of giving of their whole. And I like scales because they make me think. And so, you know, here where you first give your life to the Lord, it is about the free gift of salvation, and that's a good thing. That's what we want. But our Christian walk should progress. You know, and somewhere in the middle here, I go, this is where the cost, no matter what, I'm going to live for God. But then there's the cost that goes, how much will you give? And where do you stand on this line? Where do you feel your Christian walk is? And I know the reason this convicted me is because I feel like I can't kind of keep where I need to be. I move up and down in that scale, but I want to live here where Jesus, whatever you want of me, anything you want, you can have it. One of my favorite books is a book called Follow Me, which is about Christian discipleship that looks at, what makes a person move to maturity in their faith. And it starts off with, you know, number one, we explore Christ. And maybe that's where you are. You're exploring Christianity. That's a good place to be. Having a look, trying to work out what Jesus did and where that fits with your life. And then once someone makes a commitment, then they're growing in Christ. You know, you're growing to know what it is to be about Christ. And as they progress, they become close to Christ. But the last thing is to be Christ-centered. My relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship in my life. It guides everything I do. And the thing about this journey to get to this place is that I think some people get there in a year. Some people get there just straight away. And others of us struggle just to get out of this area here. And my challenge today is not that we need to be immediately up here, because I just don't think that's realistic. But my challenge is what's the next movement for you in your walk with Christ? And could you pay a little bit more? And what does that mean to you? How much? How much? How much? I was driving with a friend the other day who was a pastor that's moved down here to Tauranga from Auckland. I was going to go, how many other people are in that? You know, keep your hands in our pockets. He was talking about, he was being funny. He said, oh, your church should appreciate you. And I said, why do you think that? And he goes, oh, well, you're a dying breed. He said, you know, we've finished our church in Auckland 18 months ago. They can't find anyone who wants to pastor. And in fact, they're looking to merge with another church that can't find a pastor either. And I thought, is there a sense in our society that we don't want to pay a price? How much? I mean, I'm always impressed with my parents who, you know, were a real challenge to me because they basically said the call of God was the number one thing and they'd do anything God would ask them to. And, you know, with a young family, my parents, we moved to Hawera. Awesome, all the Hawerites. Good lot of people. But look, we moved to Hawera, which was not quite the center of the universe. I've got to be careful what I say about Hawera. But you know, at that stage, this is in the 70s, we moved to a church that had nothing. There were seven people in the congregation. Five were our family, and there was another two people. And there was no job. There was no way. It was a faith step. Dad talks about going to the front door of this old church, and the first thing he had to do was get his crowbar out of the car to wreck the lock off because someone was trying. No one gave him the key to the church, so you better break in, get in there. But they gave their life, 10 years of serving people and just loving people, and hundreds got saved over that time. And I go, that was worth every penny of it. You know, I do feel in here then, and in my spirit I felt, you know, there are some people here that have paid a huge price. And look, no one will ever know the price that you have paid. But I do feel, and I said this to the leaders the other day, thank you. Thank you for the prices that you've paid. Can I tell you every bit of energy you've put into helping someone, serving, God sees every bit and it is worth it. Yeah. I mean, I always, and you, if you've been here a while, you'll know, I'll say two things are important, your relationship with God and people. The rest have got no eternal value. And when you talk about the cost, you always end up, for me, at Peter saying that I'll give my life to you, Jesus. And it's in three Gospels, actually, that challenge. Matthew, Mark, and John talk about it. And I did think in myself, I've never had that conversation with any of my leaders. Like, if you've read it, they're walking along, and Jesus sort of says to them, hey guys, I'm gonna leave you. In fact, you're all gonna leave me. You're all gonna betray me. I haven't had that conversation with my leaders. I don't know how it would go. It would be interesting. One of them would surely say, "No, Alan, I'm with you. I'm with you. Even if everyone else deserts you, I'm with you." And I mean, that's what Peter says to Jesus. "I'm with you. I'm with you." And you know, he sort of says, well, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And then actually, in if you look at it, it says all the others vowed the same thing, that they wouldn't leave Christ. Yet they did. And I think we've all been in that place. We've made promises to God, we've said things to God, but when the prices come, man, it's hard work. And so, again, I come back going, hey, I want to challenge you to live a life that's completely surrendered. I want you to be on that move, because one of my favorite verses is, obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, I'm talking about sacrifice this morning. That's what I'm talking about, how much. But obedience, it's about obedience to what God's called you. And I feel God's called some people to someone, and you've gone, that's too much, and you've thrown it away. And I'm saying to you again, go have a look. Go revalue what's in your life. What's it worth? What's of value? I'm very conscious that, you know, we have all sorts of dreams, and I want people to have dreams and visions and of what they're going to do, but I'm so conscious that today, what you do today builds the future. The decision today is far more important than the future decision in one sense. It's a decision today. I've put down this. This moment is the most powerful and amazing. Tomorrow is built on today. It's today's decision to say, God, I surrender to you. And look, there are myriads of things that I could talk about where I believe God would be calling people to pray more, to talk more about your faith, maybe to give more, to look at your time, to just evaluate. And out of this time of having our whole world upside down, I've reassessed and go, what's important? And what am I willing to pay to do what God's called me to do? Musicians can come. Galatians 2:20 says this: my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I who live. Can you say that? And I love singing it. But I just feel challenged in my spirit. How much? Why don't you close your eyes? And my whole purpose for closing your eyes is to go, where do you sit with that? What is God saying to you? Not what's saying to somebody else. When's the last time you fasted? When's the last time you maybe even took a day off just to go and seek what God wants for your life? Holy Spirit, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit.